The Lord of the Rushy River. A tall, grey-haired sailor kissed his little girl and set her down on the footpath by the river. "Goodbye, my darling," he said. "Be a good child. And remember, one day I will, I hope, come back with a bag of gold, and I'll never leave you again." Then he went his way, down the river path that led to the great ships and the sea. And little Susan walked slowly back to the village of Rushybanks. She could not help crying. But looking up, she smiled to see a family of swans who were swimming close by. She remembered the day when her father had rescued one of the fluffy cygnets from a cruel boy who had tied a string to its leg and was teasing it. The leg was broken, but the sailor had put it into a splint and cared for the poor little cygnet until it could swim again. He was a kind man. So kind, he found it hard to believe that anyone could do harm on purpose. So he did not see what a wicked woman Dame Dinich was. She was the woman he had hired to take care of his house and his little girl. He thought she loved Susan as though she were her own. But as soon as he was gone, she hid the money he had given her for the little girl's food and clothes. Susan had to survive on the poorest scraps and milk that was watered until it was hardly milk at all. Her clothes were not outgrown, for who could grow with no good food? But in time, they wore out. And as the dame did not mend them and bought no new ones, little Susan patched them as best she could. "Daddy wouldn't like to see me all ragged when he comes home," she said. Day by day, Susan watched from her little window or wandered down the river path, talking to the swans. She saved bits of her scanty bread for them and felt sure that they loved her and understood what she said. The young ones grew up, and gradually their brown feathers were replaced by lovely white plumage. They were now over a year old, and the largest and loveliest of them all was the one whose leg had been broken. He was indeed a splendid swan, and as he sailed along with his brothers and sisters following behind, he seemed to be saying, "See me, I am the Lord of the Rushy River." But though he was proud and stately, he was gentle with Susan and would feed from her hand. So the months passed, while she waited, hopefully. "It takes a long time to get a bag full of gold," she told the swans. Then, one day, Dame Dinage announced that they were going away from Rushybanks. Susan cried and pleaded, but in vain. Everything was packed into a wagon. Susan was pushed inside among the baggage where she could see little, and for a night and a day, they jolted along country roads, uphill and down dale. By the second night, they reached a city, and Susan found that her new home was an attic at the top of a tall, rickety old house in a maze of narrow streets. Now Susan was really unhappy. She thought of her father coming home and finding no daughter waiting for him, and no one to tell him where she was. She gave up trying to mend her frock. She had not even the swans to talk to, and the dame threatened to beat her if she spoke to the other people in the house. But one day, as she leaned out of the attic window, she heard a sound of a great bird's wings. And there, to her delight, was a beautiful swan flying slowly over the housetops, with its neck stretched out, looking from side to side. "Oh, can it be one of my swans looking for me?" thought Susan. But it did not see her, and soared out of sight. The next day she saw it again, but again it passed by. Though poor little Susan stretched out her arms and cried, "Swan, swan, take me to Rushybanks."
"Hey, what's that?" said the dame. It's no good talking about Rushy Banks. You're not going there anymore.
Susan did not answer. But that night, when the dame was asleep, she tied an old shawl over her head and shoulders and crept downstairs into the street. It was my swan, she was saying to herself. If he can't find me, I must find him. And she began to run through the dark, silent streets. She ran until there were trees and hedges, and she knew she was coming to the country. Exhausted, she crept into the porch of a farmhouse to rest. Then, as the first streak of light appeared in the dawn sky, she started off again. Her feet were sore and dusty, and there was no sign of a river like the Rushy, where her swan might be. Presently, however, she saw a pond a little way from the road and thought she would wash her feet in it. She pushed through some bushes, and there, on the grass of the opposite bank, was a large and beautiful swan preening his feathers. He saw Susan. He flapped his great wings, launched quickly into the water, and swam across to her. Oh, my swan! She cried with joy. And as he stepped up the bank, she fell on her knees and threw her arms round his neck. It was so white and strong, and yet so soft and feathery. She thought she had never felt anything so lovely in her life. Did you come to look for me? She asked, looking up at his beady black eyes. And he bent his head and gently caressed her hair with his beak. Are you going to take me to Rushy Banks? Was her next question. And at that, the swan nodded gravely and said, Yes. If you're not afraid, I will take you there on my back. He crouched low on the ground and spread out his wings. Full of trust, Susan laid herself down on the white feathers, put her cheek against the back of his neck, and clasped her arms tightly around it. The great wings on either side of her were lifted, and the noble swan soared into the air. Soon the little girl was fast asleep, tired out and lulled by the rushing wind and the steady swishing sound of the swan's flight. When Susan awoke, she was lying on a great pile of rushes, and she could see nothing but rushes, rushes and water all around her. She sat up and stretched, then saw a swan watching her. She is awake, said the swan, and at that, a number of other swans appeared through the rushes. Last came her friend. He stepped up on the rush pile which had once been a swan's nest, and with a gracious air, he laid half a loaf of bread in her lap. Stretching one wing around her, he said, Your father once saved my life, and you fed me when you had little enough for yourself. Now I will take care of you until your father comes home. Do not be afraid, for I am the Lord of the Rushy River.
Oh, my Lord Swan, said Susan, how can I thank you?
Then, being very hungry, she began to eat the bread, while the swans looked on approvingly. Presently she asked,
How did you know where to look for me, my Lord Swan?
Ah, I asked all the birds for news of you. The seagulls who came up the river knew nothing, but an owl had seen you traveling through the night and told the swallows. Then they flew off to see what they could find. At last, one of them heard from a house martin about a child in a far-off city who leaned from a window, weeping for Rushy Banks. So I came there. But the roofs and the chimneys confused me, and I could not see you. But I would have tried again had you not come to me.
He said this proudly, looking around in his most majestic manner.
The seagulls have promised, he went on, to bring the news as soon as your father's ship reaches port. Until then, you must lie hidden with us. This is the backwater of the river, where no one comes. It belongs to us and the other water birds. We will bring you food, and you may swim in the early mornings, but not in the day when the land folk are about. Will you be good and do as we say?
And Susan was only too glad to answer. Yes, my lord, I will.